Chapter 12. Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head. Obi-Wan held in a flinch as the bones in his fingers snapped back into place. It hurt, burning agony enough to almost stop his breathing and make him scream, but it was very, very important that he not react. The last thing he wanted to do was push John into another panic attack. After his friend's breakdown, Obi-Wan hadn't wanted to push it. The idea that he could upset John so badly that his friend would shake apart was horrifying, and not something that he ever wanted to repeat. If it had been a skill any less vital than healing, Obi-Wan would have simply never brought it up again, and that would have been that. But it was healing, and it was vital. If Obi-Wan had been able to knit wounds back together like this years ago, Sarasi and countless other children might have still been alive. Tal might still be alive. He still gave it several weeks before tentatively bringing it up again. They settled on broken bones, small ones. John told him that if he could knit bone together, then the skill would transfer easily to bleeds internal and external. Bones were a bit more finicky than flesh. When John offered to demonstrate, Obi-Wan immediately shot him down. There was a less than zero chance that he would ever let his younger friend hurt himself purposefully for training. John was 11. It simply wasn't happening. Obi-Wan ignored the little voice that sounded like Quinn and his crushmates calling him a hypocrite. He'd gotten very good at ignoring that voice over the past several years. They settled on broken toes and then broken fingers, and Obi-Wan held in every flinch he craved to give. John looked queasy enough every time they trained in healing that Obi-Wan simply could not make it worse. Obi-Wan stretched out his hand and wiggled his fingers at John with a small smile. "Good as new," Obi-Wan said. John returned his smile hesitantly and caught Obi-Wan's hand between his own. Obi-Wan could feel John reaching out with the force, prodding along the bones in his hand to make sure they were all properly aligned once more. "You have the theory down, and you're quick at finishing the healing," John said. "I have nothing more to teach you." Instantly, Obi-Wan wanted to protest. Broken fingers weren't the same as broken legs, weren't the same as blaster wounds to the stomach. But he couldn't seriously expect John to have him practice on those. And when he took a deep breath, made easier by John's warm grip on his hand, Obi-Wan realized he didn't want to practice on those. When John said the skills would transfer, Obi-Wan believed him, trusted him. Besides, it's not as if he enjoyed his fingers being broken. And Obi-Wan certainly didn't enjoy putting that pinched look on John's face any more than absolutely necessary. In fact, Obi-Wan gathered his courage and reached out. He pulled John into his arms in a gentle hug, an action still new and tentative between them. John relaxed quickly, a vast improvement from the first time, and squeezed Obi-Wan back. While this was mostly for John's benefit, to expose him to a kind touch in a way that Obi-Wan suspected his friend had never experienced before, it was also selfish. Qui-Gon had never been a particularly affectionate master, and even when he was, the man preferred brushes through the Force. Not that Obi-Wan disliked those, it was only that, with his friends out of the temple and his nightmare mission schedule, it had been a long, long time since Obi-Wan had had regular hugs. He didn't think about Sarasi bleeding out in his arms, or the stick-thin arms of malnourished children wrapping around his waist, or... the contact was good for both of them. "Thank you, John," Obi-Wan said softly. John leaned even more of his weight into Obi-Wan's chest. For the sake of his friend's dignity, he ignored the way that John's hands grabbed fistfuls of his clothes. They stayed like that long enough that Obi-Wan started to get drowsy. John was the one to break the silence. "Can we work on hand-to-hand next? I'm out of practice." Obi-Wan laughed, startled. He squeezed John tight a final time before stepping back. "Well, we certainly don't want that, now do we? I'm out of practice myself." John smiled, and Obi-Wan didn't miss the way the crinkle of his eyes made the expression closer to a smirk than a grin. Are we allowing dirty hits or having a clean fight? Obi-Wan barked out a laugh. He let his own soft smile change to something a little more feral, a little more free. What do you think? John lunged forward, and Obi-Wan lost himself in the whirlwind of movement. Deppa straightened her robes one last time before she left her rooms. It was strange, because it was only a lineage dinner with Master Tra, Master Mace, and John, but she actually felt nervous. She was growing closer with her Padawan brother, especially after their trips out in Coruscant, but there was still something so fragile about the time they spent together. Every moment and interaction felt like a burgeoning shatterpoint, like one wrong move would have disastrous consequences. Deppa disliked the feeling. John was shy and sweet and adorable. She didn't want anything souring their time together, and she longed for the day when her Padawan brother relaxed enough to tease her back, and maybe even be her accomplice in pranking Master Mace. She may have driven him bald, but he still barely had any wrinkles. If she worked together with John, they could fix that. And John absolutely had some sly mischief in him, down deep. On the second or third trip they'd taken into the underbelly of Coruscant, Deppa had changed into civilian clothes and brought John a similar set. He looked even younger out of his robes, but it meant they attracted far fewer gazes as Deppa showed him the seedy clubs and bars that Jedi shadows mine for information. Of course, she warned him to stay out at least until he was a senior Padawan and looked of age, but it was still important information to know, especially since Deppa thought he had the makings of an excellent shadow. On that trip, she'd been explaining something to him in between buildings, in the mouth of an alley, when a rude humanoid went out of their way to elbow past. It hadn't hurt, not really, but it did knock her breath out of her. Deppa had turned to spit after them, as required of anyone in the lower levels looking to fit in, but before she could, John had somehow climbed onto the awning of a storefront to the humanoid's left. She hadn't seen him move, but he must have force-jumped when she was distracted. Deppa had gone to call out to him, when John caught her eye with a small little grin and pulled on the fabric of the awning. Immediately, a deluge of polluted, stagnant water had spilled over the side directly onto the rude humanoid. They had screeched and tripped before scrambling away embarrassed. Deppa had to slap a hand over her mouth to muffle her laughter. She had missed how John got down, because while she was still gathering her composure, he simply appeared by her side with a self-satisfied smile. Deppa had ruffled his hair, and he hadn't even pulled away. They were making progress, certainly, and Deppa was sure she could get him comfortable enough to be mischievous all the time. But for now, the next step was a lineage dinner to introduce John to Master Tra. He tended to be skittish around new people, so Deppa would do her best to shield him when needed. She was such a good Padawan sister. Deppa let herself into Mace's quarters without bothering to knock. "Master Mace, hand over my Padawan sibling!" Mace stuck his head out of the kitchen nook to give her a pointedly unimpressed look. Despite the glare, he squeezed her arm affectionately as she passed and sent warm welcome her way in the Force. John was seated in the living area on the couch. Although he was hunched over datapads and flimsy, Deppa wasn't fooled. She could see the tension knotting his small back. "There you are, my favorite Padawan sibling!" John lifted his head and sent her a nervously sweet smile. "Hi, Deppa." Deppa dropped down onto the couch next to him, careful not to crowd. She took note of the way John swayed toward her briefly, before keeping into his own space. "What are you working on?" He relaxed slightly and explained his diplomacy homework quietly while they passed the time before dinner. He had almost relaxed entirely when the door chimed. All John's tension came rushing back, but Deppa ducked her head to whisper, "Master Tra is nice, I promise. She always teases Master Mace, too. It's really funny." John smiled, but didn't lose any of his wariness. Master Tra followed Mace into the living area. Mace waved a hand in their direction, on the couch with a smile. "Master, I'd like you to meet my new Padawan learner, John Antilles." John scrambled to his feet and bowed. Master Tra waved a hand at him gently. "No need to bow to me, my grand Padawan. I'm delighted to meet you." She shot a teasing look at Mace. "You could have mentioned that you were empty nesting, my Padawan. Not even 2 years since Deppa's knighting, and you're already snatching up another adorable child. Mace closed his eyes and pinched the bridge of his nose. Deppa snorted and poked him with the force. Mace sighed. Master. You should leave some Padawans for the rest of us, you know, Master Tra continued. After all, Deppa must be looking to make you a Grandmaster soon. Deppa spluttered. What, Grandmaster, no? John giggled, quick and quiet, but a definite giggle. Deppa's protests died immediately. It's nice to meet you, Master Sa, John said. Master Tara shook her head. None of that. Call me Tara, or Grandmaster if you must. John ducked his head. Yes, Grandmaster. Deppa kept an eye on him as they proceeded to the small table in the kitchen. To her surprise, John kept close to Master Mace. He was rewarded with a gentle hand on his shoulder, which he actually leaned into, and a soft, good job, Padawan. John had come far from that terrified little boy Deppa first met. He was opening up, actually talking, and trusting them in bigger and bigger ways every day. He answered every question Master Tara posed, and even, tentatively, asked her about the flora Master Tara mentioned she kept in her quarters. Deppa hadn't expected John to be so interested in the living force, but she made a note to get him some plants for his room during her next missions. Master Tara, for her part, had clearly been briefed on John's unique introduction to the temple. She kept her questions light and easy to answer, and never pushed him to elaborate when he began to look uncomfortable. To make up for it, she spent a great deal of time teasing Mace and Deppa. The things they did for John. Deppa managed to get in at least one jab about missing Master Tholme that had Mace sending her an approving look. Of course, Master Tara was happy to tell them about her most recent plans for wooing the Oblivious Man to a nauseating degree, so it was a net loss for the table. Still, when the door closed behind her, John's shoulders slumped visibly. You did well, Padawan, Mace said once more, resting a hand on his back. Thank you, Master. Now that it's just us three, Deppa started, I think it's time you learn one of the most important skills in a Jedi's arsenal. John immediately jerked to attention, even as Mace rolled his eyes. Deppa slipped her hand into her robes and withdrew a deck of cards. What do you know about Sabacc? John blinked, and then that smile from the lower levels, the one with a hint of mischief that Deppa so wanted to nurture, emerged. Obi-Wan's been teaching me, but he always wins. Can you help me beat him? Deppa smirked, and she saw Mace lean forward, invested. Now this had become a point of lineage pride, and Mace never missed an opportunity to show up Qui-Gon Jinn. The next time you two play, you're not just going to beat him, John. You're going to destroy him. End of chapter 12.